Let's get our Bibles and turn to the second chapter of the book of Genesis. I really hate to preach after such a spiritual intrusion here tonight, but that's what we came for, really, was for the preaching. And the worship, of course, is always good. It's an added feature and an added benefit to us. But I've seen so many times the Lord has supplied the need totally in that particular area. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it that goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, I'm going to preach tonight from this particular scriptural selection, but I won't be dealing a whole lot with this, I hope. I've sat here tonight and worshipped here tonight with you, and I realize that we're typical Pentecostals. God gives us the Holy Ghost, and the majority of the Pentecostals get to that apex. And we settle right there. We level off at the gift of the Holy Ghost. There are other ministries, and of course we've all squabbled over the piano, the organ, the guitars, and the tambourines, and the drums in our churches to see who could play it, because for some reason those things seem to attract us when they're not even mentioned in the Word of God. And yet there are gifts that the Lord has promised to give to the believers, and things that we do know that He wants to give to people that love Him, that many of us never ask the Lord for.
You're right.
I believe that God calls people to prayer. I believe there are people who have an art. They've developed an art of praying, and they know how to communicate with God. There are people who love to pray, but they just make a racket when they pray. And there are others that really get the job done when they pray, and I think it's because God calls them. Maybe God calls some of us at some particular occasion, and we left Him to Himself, and we didn't go follow His direction and pray. Now, if prayer is essential, then when God calls you to pray, you've got to respond to it. If you don't respond, the next time there's an emergency, God can't afford to call you. He has to call somebody that will pray. Several years ago, Brother Greer's brother Richard had a potato chip route, and he was driving down the road one day, and he felt this urge to stop his truck and to pray. So he just stopped beside the road, and he went back into the back of that potato chip van, got down on his knees and just started interceding. And he felt an urge. He felt the need to pray for Brother Gerald Eubanks. He said, God, whatever there is. Now, I don't even understand this, to be perfectly honest. I don't understand it. But he said, whatever it is that Brother Eubanks needs right now, I want you to keep your hand on him and supply that need, whatever it is. Brother Eubanks works for the state, drives a mowing tractor. He had hit a wash in the road mowing the ditch bank, and that tractor had turned over on him. And at the very instant that Brother Richard was back there in the back of that truck praying for Brother Eubanks, that tractor was laying on him, pressed into the mud, and just his nose and his mouth out of that water. And he was pleading with God, help me, oh God, help me. And Brother Richard felt this urge. You say, it don't make sense. If God knew it, why didn't God do something? I don't understand that. You've all probably heard Sister Freeman tell about going across the ocean, and her child was so sick, and she had prayed and kept watch so long till she was totally given out. And she finally lay over on that child and that hot, fevered baby, and she lay over on it, and she said, my God, you've just got to lay me on somebody's heart. I can't go any farther. I can't pray anymore. And some ladies here in America, one on one coast and one on the other, felt instantaneously, not having communicated with each other, they felt like they needed to pray for Sister Freeman. And they rolled out and began to pray. And as they began to pray, Sister Freeman said she felt the cold breeze blow through the cabin of that ship. And that child was instantly healed. Later on, she realized in talking that these two ladies had felt this need to pray at that very instant. I say God called them, and they responded. And I believe there's that need tonight, and God's willing to give us what we really need in the area of prayer or whatever it might be. I believe there are people who can lead in praise. I've watched some of you tonight. Your faces, you're like you're on this platform. You look like you're on this platform. You're afraid to raise your eyes because it seems like every eye in here is on you. You probably can't lead worship. But there are people that they don't care. They just got a little vim and vigor and vitality. And they get up and go and they don't really care. That's the kind of person that God gives the move to lead in worship. If you don't respond to God when He talks to you about leading in a worship service, and that service goes to pop, the next time He needs the service led, and you say, Brother Rutledge, you're supposed to do that. This man is here to inspire you so you can respond to what he's talking about. And get out there and begin to worship and lead in worship. Amen. I don't know how you're going to do it, however, but God gives you those gifts. And then there's the gift, I believe that God gives us the gift of counsel and the gift of wisdom, the gift of compassion. I believe these things are possible within the church. There are people in our church that usually will have a testimony just every so often. They'll say, I was so discouraged and I was so down. And I went and talked to Sister So-and-so. I went and talked to Brother So-and-so. Why do they do that? I'll tell you why. Because every time they do, they find mercy. They find compassion, they find forgiveness, they find instruction, they find restoration, and that's why they go. And I believe people are given that. Because by nature, some folks are a little crueler than others are, and others are more merciful. Now, let me say this. I also believe that there are other gifts that we could still rise to. And you listen to what your preacher says. But I believe there are gifts that we could rise to if we would pray that God would make this church more powerful than we've ever dreamed, if we would hunger after what God wants to give. But most of us just want to be saved. We just want the Holy Ghost, and if we can make it to heaven, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you something. This kingdom is not just for people to be comfortable in, but it's a kingdom of ministry. Amen. Now, the Bible says that God hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not one of you need to feel impoverished tonight. Not one of you need to feel inadequate tonight, because God has given you everything. You say, but I just don't seem to have the faith, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. Well, let me ask you why. Because the Bible says that God hath given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. It's not something that just comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible said, desire spiritual gifts. That's what the Scripture said. I believe you've got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I don't think it just comes. I think there's a discipline in righteousness. There's a discipline in prayer. There's a discipline in worship. There's an abandonment in all of this. Are you following me tonight?
Amen.
God wants to give you more than you have ever asked Him for. Don't be content with just the Holy Ghost. The Bible simply tags it as the earnest of the inheritance. And some of you feel like that's the epitome of religion, but it's not. It's just the earnest, and God's got so much more for you. If I can incite some of you young people to hunger after God tonight, I want to do it. When I first got the Holy Ghost, I didn't just want to get the Holy Ghost and drag the church. I'm telling you, I didn't want to just come to just drag the church. I wanted something in me that would move my community. I wanted something in me. And I started seeking God. I fasted. I prayed. People told me, said, if you fast, you'll get off in false doctrine. I mean, they were really worried about me. Anyway, I sought God for strength in the Spirit. I wanted to be more than the average saint that I knew. Now, I don't know whether that's going to hit you just right or not, but I want to incite in you a hunger tonight for more of God. I haven't reached yet what I expect to reach. At Wednesday at the church, I knelt down, and a hunger, it just began to pour from me, expressing myself to God. After 20-something years in the church and in the ministry, I'm still not satisfied. I still want to climb up that ladder of spiritual success. Praise God. And I don't want my children just to be mediocre saints. I want them to be I want them to be something in the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm not asking for them to be sensationalists, but I want for them to be something in the kingdom of God. Amen. Well, back here in the garden, the Lord gave man what man needed. And he said, now every tree in this garden belongs to you. But now here's what happens. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, up and coming young saints. A lot of times you make mistakes, you get off on the wrong foot, or you go back on the Lord, and invariably you're going to try to find somebody to blame it on. And you will make this statement, it's been made before. You'll say, if it hadn't been for so-and-so, well, I'm going to show you that's no truth to that. There wasn't another saint in the garden. There wasn't another person around that couldn't live it. There wasn't any hypocrites to point their fingers at. There was just the devil. Amen. But when he came, they fell. Right? They fell. The Bible tells me in so many words that Eve was lustful. That she was unbelieving. The Bible tells me that she was deceived. Easy deceived. She was so easy to deceive that God, who frequented the garden, had just said, you can have everything out here but one tree. You can have the tree of good looks. I don't know whether it was there or not. You could have all of these. You found it, sure, I know. You can have all of these trees. And you can have the tree of life. And I don't know, and I guess all of you probably wondered, why in the world that they didn't go to that one first? I guess because they didn't know what death was.
That's right.
They didn't know what suffering was. They didn't know why they'd want to live anyway, because they were living. They didn't know what the word death was, murder, hate. None of these things were there. And so they didn't even think about going to the tree of life. But for some reason, and it's still true today, man, limited in his knowledge, was deceived by Satan into thinking that if he could know more, he would be more. But I promise you that if you know more, that's not after knowledge, not after spirit, not after God. You know more, but you are less.
Amen.
I don't have to cite examples, but I can promise you a lot of times a person, until they really get educated, are pretty easy to deal with. But let them get educated and they get all this starchy, I don't understand that. The bigger they get in the world, the littler they get in God. I don't understand that. I don't understand. You can understand it when you're only a fourth grader. But all right, but let me preach. God gave them everything they needed. He said, but when you eat of that one tree, you are going to die. You're going to die. If you eat of one tree, Satan realized this, and so he came through the garden. And he deceived the woman, and the woman in turn deceived the man, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, boy, that could have been just one little show. If Satan's prediction had come to pass, they would have been his gods. And when God showed up, he could have said, hey, where'd you gods come from?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know there were any more gods around. Where'd you all come from? Yeah. And they could have said, well, we're just out here eating from this one particular tree, and we just turned into gods all of a sudden. But when God came, they weren't God at all. In fact, they were even less than what God put in the garden as a man, because they went to hide themselves from God. The man that God made loved God. The man God made loved his fellowship. The man God made waited patiently in the evening for God to come and talk with him. But the man that knowledge made was a man that runs and hides. A man that lies. A man that's deceived. A man that is unbelieving. That's the kind of man that knowledge made.
Right.
And when God came, Adam wasn't waiting anymore. And God said, it would have been better that man would have said, but God said, where art thou, Adam? And Adam said, I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Did you eat of that tree? And Adam said, I ate. I ate because my wife that you gave me asked me to eat. And the serpent asked her to eat. That's what it all boils down to, God. And the Lord cursed first the serpent. You know that, don't you? And then he cursed the woman. And he cursed the man. At that tree, man lost the better things of life.
Oh, God.
That's right.
He reached for knowledge and he lost the good things of life.
Think about it.
But that's not all. When man lost the good things of life, he lost the best thing of life. And that is life. I don't want to be a philosopher here, but the best thing in life is really living. Do you know there are a lot of folks tonight that are just on the treadmill and they're existing? That's right. They actually don't know any purpose in life. There's no enjoyment in life. If it is, it's just fleeting. They have no consolations whatsoever. They just exist. But I'm going to tell you, there is a real life to live. And man lost it. Okay, so we lost these things at that particular tree. And God wanted so much. I believe this. I believe God loves the people in this church tonight that are His. I believe He does. I believe He likes to commune with you. That's why Brother Grover told me this the other night. It makes me want to shout just right now. He said many times in his 18 years of seeking God for the Holy Ghost. And I know there's just something there that holds him back from speaking in tongues. But Brother Grover said he has awakened in the middle of the night. And in his sleep he would be talking in tongues. And I probably could poll this church tonight. And many of you have awakened in the night. And you would be talking in tongues. Praise God. I can remember waking up and feeling the cold chills all over me. And think, hey, the Holy Ghost is in this room. I've been asleep. And while I was asleep, my spirit was being fathomed by the Spirit of God. And I was made to know Him and to fellowship Him while I was asleep. Praise God. I have preached some of my greatest sermons while I was asleep. Never did preach them in a church anywhere, but I've preached them in my sleep. And they must have been just for me. I've had some of my greatest miracles in my sleep. I want to tell you something, church. God desires to fellowship you. That's why sometimes in your home, the Spirit of God comes and just overwhelms you.
Hallelujah.
If it don't do that, something's wrong. Sometimes in your church service, you're just sitting here, you're just worshiping God, and all of a sudden, it's like a bolt of lightning hits you. It's kind of like tonight. Tonight has just kind of been one of those surprises for us. I mean, the Lord has reached down, blessed our souls, and what you're talking about, we've had a time. It's because God wants us to be close to Him and to have that kind of fellowship. I believe more than that, I believe God wants us to have eternal life. Amen. I know the Word of God said this is the will of God. Even your sanctification. He wants you to be holy enough to walk into His presence. He wants you to be holy enough to be able to hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God does not want you to be lost. He's not against you. He's for you. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, man sought for his knowledge and lost the good things, the better things, the best things of life.
Amen.
And God sought to restore those things. It looks like God could have just said, "All right, Adam, you and Eve didn't do very well. Boom." But He didn't. He put them outside of the garden. He took the precaution to put the flaming sword at the garden gate so that man could not come back. And the Bible specifically says so that he could not come back and partake of the tree of life and eat of it and live forever. God will not mind us living forever if we're holy, if we're right, if we're just, if we're pure, if we're what He wants us to be.
Right.
But He don't want you to live forever.
Right.
If you're going to be a devil.
Oh, God.
I can take Bible and tell you that God is going to destroy the devil. And that does not mean in the sense that He's going to annihilate him so much as destroy him, defame him, unseat him. And He's going to destroy the people that have lived for the devil. But not the saints of God. Those people are going to be destroyed with everlasting torment, with the flaming fire. But the Bible says that the saints of God are going to be rejoicing forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And the praises of God are going to be on the lips of the saints forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. It looks like God could just have worked that out in 30 seconds, but He didn't.
Right.
But He had many time to come on the scene and walk off the scene. theme, and here comes one with the spirit of the prophecy, and here comes one with the spirit of the seer, and here comes the priest. And yet there was no victory in sight, no deliverance in sight, no restoration in sight. Those prophets prophesied in their own time and died without ever getting the credit that they probably needed. And I hear them say, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Amen.
And yet died without ever seeing it come to pass. And when it did come to pass, it came to pass so suddenly that nobody hardly knew it. It was a little peasant maid. Never had known a man. And the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed her. She conceived. And the Bible said she was going to bring forth that holy thing. Praise God. That holy thing. And the Bible tells us that that which was going to be born of Mary was of the Holy Ghost. And then the angel came and told Joseph, fear not, because that which is going to be born of her is going to be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God. God what? God with us. God with us like it was back in the Garden of Eden. God with us. God communing with us. God walking with us.
Praise God.
I hope this is making sense. And then he said, according to Brother Mark here on the front seat, and ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sin of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's going to redeem them from what they did back there in the garden. He's going to take out the stain and the curse and the blight. He's going to take away the death that's in their members. He's going to take all of that away. Oh, praise God. Let me tell you something, church. It's a great thing tonight to know that if you were to die at the service, you don't have to worry about it. Praise God. Don't have to worry about it. But the Bible tells in Hebrews 2:15 that people were all their lifetime subject to bondage because they were afraid to die. But Jesus went to another tree, a tree of not of life, a tree of death. And at that tree of death, he restored all that Adam and Eve lost at that tree of knowledge of good and evil back in the Garden of Eden, restored it all to us. But the Bible tells us this, that the man who hung on the tree was to be cursed. So Jesus was cursed that we could be blessed. He died that we could live. The Bible said, Hebrews 2:14, that he by death destroyed, or he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. We don't have to worry about the devil tonight. And I'm not saying that the Lord has already destroyed the devil. But as far as I'm concerned, I believe that the Lord's taken the power of the devil away. There again, I feel like I need to tell you what the Bible said. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is in me and the devil's in the world. Jesus is greater than the devil. And so as far as I'm concerned, he has destroyed the devil. Praise God. Praise Him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I preached a message here a few years ago called The Paradox of Calvary, and I sure don't intend to go back over it tonight. But everything that Calvary, the cross, stood for, Jesus made it exactly the opposite. Where it would have been a curse, Jesus made it a blessing. Where His name was supposed to be blotted out and never remembered again, His name has come upon the lips of the smallest child and the oldest sage. Praise God. His name has been written in more books than we could ever count. And more Bibles have been printed than any other book. And when Voltaire made the statement that the Bible will be a short-lived thing and the Christians will be a short-lived people in his house after he had died. His house was turned into a place to print Bibles to project the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, friend. They tried to eradicate him, but instead they just spread him across the whole wide world. I don't know any other better word to say. He got in my heart. He got in your heart. He got in Russell's heart. He got in our hearts tonight. And we're here tonight to express what Jesus has done by coming into our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay. Praise God.
They wanted to stop his name, and yet Brother Rutledge says he had a wreck, and the only thing he had time to say was, Jesus. Jesus. There's something about that name. Master. Savior. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. They fed it to the lions, but the lions couldn't eat it. It fought a lot of wars, but it's never been defeated. It went through the fire, but the fire couldn't burn it. I'm just quoting from an old poem here tonight. It has been in the wind, but the wind couldn't turn it. There is nothing in this world that has ever been able to assault or assail the name of Jesus and bring it into a place of none effect. In fact, is the more you talk about the name of Jesus, the more you try to eradicate the name of Jesus, the better it gets. They put the apostles in prison and said, don't preach anymore in that name. The angel came at midnight, shook them awake, and said, go down there and preach all the words of this life. This life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Praise God. Boy, that's another song, isn't it? In him was life, and the life was the light of men walking in darkness. That's a good one. Don't tell the ringle he got. We sung that one. I think we just walk around singing, in him was life, and the life was the light of men walking in darkness. I can't remember it now. But I will tell you something. The more you try to stop the name, the more we go after it. Praise God. The name has never been defended more than when it has been assaulted. If you fight the name of Jesus, we're going to stand up and defend the name of Jesus. If you fight the Holy Ghost, we're going to stand up and defeat the Holy Ghost. Defend the Holy Ghost. If you fight the oneness of God, we're going to stand up and defend the oneness of God. Hallelujah. Well, God came. It was His will to give man all the things that he lost at the garden. And you know what He did? The Bible said in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive. He led what?
Captivity captive.
He led captivity captive.
And gave gifts unto
the... Wait a minute. Don't get ahead of me. He led captivity
captive.
Where are those saints who were handcuffed when it's worship time?
Oh,
and they say, well, I would like to praise God, but I'm just not that kind.
Oh.
He led captivity captive. Where is that saint that seems to always be defeated and always tied up in knots and always imprisoned, always got all these misgivings, always got all these fears? Where is that saint? The Bible said when Jesus went away, He led captivity captive. He took all that there was to bind the church and He said, come out of here, you devil. You're going to sin. And He just led. He just led him off, and the devil said, I don't want to go. But Jesus led him away. Captivity went into captivity. Is free indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hold on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I've been in services where it felt like you're let's speak right in the mouth. I've seen the times when our cold shields are playing chase up and down our backbone. you got that in, Brother Havis. I saw that backbone. Hallelujah. I've seen the time when we were overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. At home sometimes, I get to looking at people's faces and they don't act like they're as far down the road in the Holy Ghost as I am right now, so I just close my eyes.
Yeah.
And sometimes I rear back and get what them black folks call gravy. I get to just moaning and a rocking. Oh, just get lost in the Holy Ghost. You know why? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. There is liberty. And it moves through this church and overwhelms us tonight. Just like it when you grow old. That's going to be beautiful too when I come back up here on my walker. That old brother Bernard is going around here like that.
Praise God.
What makes you feel like getting up? We like to start it sometimes, brother came and got Brother Russell Mullins. Guys out here said, feel good. Peter over here got this brother said, feel good. Brother, you know what? Brother, got somebody else. You know what the deal is? It gets them moving on us. Right. The first thing, all a little bit starchy at first, you know, but then after a while, we don't care. Because when the Spirit of the Lord is in it, there's liberty. Amen. Amen. That's for your soul. Just tongues begin to just roll out. You know why? There's liberty. Amen.
Glory, glory.
Forgive me for preaching for so long. The clock says 5:00. I've watched it for the last 2 nights. I've just about got in trouble again tonight. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now, what did he say he gave to those men? Said unto some, gifts, right. Unto some, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You say, well, I don't think he gave me a pastor. That's because right now you hadn't needed one, and you're pretty self-sufficient right now. But how many of you can remember when you needed a pastor? How many of you can remember the first knock on your door? How many of you can remember when, out of the clear blue, the man and the woman you needed to see the most were standing on your doorstep? How many of you can remember that? You say, we don't need evangelists. Our preacher's just as good. That's the truth. But ask him. So if God didn't give you an evangelist, he gave the pastor an evangelist. He's given me an evangelist to come by when I was just about ready to blow a fuse. And an evangelist came in. And he preached, and a different voice and a different face seemed to turn those people the direction they needed to go. But I'll guarantee you tonight, if you'll pardon that expression, that many of you were saved because an evangelist came and preached. God gave us evangelists. And where would you be tonight if God hadn't given you a teacher? Where would you be tonight if the Lord hadn't given you a man who could foresee some things for you, a prophet, foresee some things down the road and tell you about it and stop you and help you not to go that direction? All of these things, I'm sure, come under the heading of pastoral ministry. But God gave them. That's not all He gave. But He gave those. And I'm telling you something. Those ministries that God gave are the things that will cause a man to stop in his tracks and say, where am I going anyway? What am I doing anyway? And turn toward God. And get right with the Lord. Come back to that old tree of death, all right, but that old tree called Calvary. And kneel there and say, God, I've been an Adam, absent without leave. I've been chasing rainbows. Brother Gerald said last night, I was seeking not the kingdom, but I was seeking other things first. And I need to seek His kingdom. And we're all there. We've been there seeking other things. And the Lord wants to restore some things to you tonight. And He wants to do it at that old rugged tree, Calvary. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. If there's anybody here that don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, I believe you need to take this as an opportunity to get in the altar and repent. Get baptized if you haven't been baptized and receive the Holy Ghost. You need to do that tonight. The Bible said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Those three words, ask, seek, and knock. If you take those first letters off each one of those words, you get that simple word, ask. Jesus said, you have not, or John said, you have not because ye ask not. Ye ask not. If there's something lacking in your life tonight spiritually, I believe He just waits on you to ask Him. Desire spiritual gifts, the apostle said. Ask. If there's something you need, desire it. Ask it. And then the Bible said, when you pray, whatsoever things you desire, believe that you have them and you shall receive them. Ask, seek, and knock. Is there anybody that feels tonight that you need to exercise that option to get from God what you need? I don't think it's necessary if you're a saint to come down here to the altar tonight necessarily. But I also believe that at some point you've got to step forth and say, I want to be more than I am for God. I want to be more than I am. I have a desire to reach my fullest potential. I know that I can be the Christian person that God wants me to be. I know I can be the servant in the kingdom that I ought to be, that God wants me to be. Hallelujah.
God, we so thank you, Lord.